Hello, everyone. This is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today I'm sitting down with Scott Bucher, who is the maintenance manager at Kroger. Scott has over 40 years of maintenance and reliability experience and has held positions at esteemed companies like Rostone, RCA, Denso, Ecobend Manufacturing, and Gestamp Chattanooga. Scott has experience in TPM, RCM, CBM, statistical analysis, and Kaizen. And Scott's favorite project to date was the development and implementation of a wireless condition monitoring system. Today, I'm looking forward to catching up with Scott about condition-based maintenance and how things have been going for him working at the second largest supermarket retailer in the USA during this COVID-19 pandemic. All right, Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. We're just rocking and rolling over here. So I'm going to jump right into things with you, Scott. So you've mentioned that you've used condition-based maintenance for a number of years, and I'd love to hear from you why you think that it's the best tool for condition monitoring engineers to be using.
It's easy to implement. It's very inexpensive to implement. It's a concept that you can train your team on and they can understand it fairly easily. They can see the results fairly quickly. And of course you can save a lot of money with and labor with condition-based maintenance. So it, to me, it's one of the easiest maintenance methodologies to use.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. So that being said, you know, the hope would be that, you know, a lot of companies already have a program in place. But if someone's looking to invest in a condition-based maintenance program, what do you think or what tips would you have for someone to try to sell the idea and investment to their leadership team?
The easiest or one of the best things about condition-based maintenance is or the easiest way to apply it is look at where you spend your money changing parts based on time. So if you have time interval PMs, like you change an air filter, an oil filter every 6 months, if you put a differential pressure gauge across that filter, you only need to change it when the pressure gauge tells you you need to change it. And so you can save a lot of money and a lot of wasted labor only changing parts when you actually need to instead of doing it on time-based program. That's the easiest way to implement it, I think. Look at where you spend your money on parts, where do you change parts based on time intervals, and look at how the condition of those parts, or you can get the machine to tell you the condition of those parts, so you actually change them when they need to be changed, not just based on some time period.
Exactly. So then that being said, Scott, what sort of tips would you have for someone who's looking to implement, you know, a condition-based maintenance program?
Start with something very simple. So I've been here almost 2 years, and I just started my first condition-based maintenance program here. And it's actually on our sprinkler system. So, you know, we're the main building here is 750,000 square feet, and with a lot of products in here, we have to have very good sprinkler systems. And we've had a lot of leaks, spent a lot of money last year digging up, looking for underground leaks, digging up the truck lot and things, and never did find anything. And so I started noticing that a lot of the risers were leaking, and there's a pump called a jockey pump that comes on and pressurizes keeps the pressure up in our system. And that pump used to run about once every 5 minutes, pressurized the system, shut off for about 5 minutes. And so we started fixing leaks, and then it got to be an hour, and then an hour and a half, and now we're up to 5 hours. So I put a little chart out there, and a guy goes out every week, and the system records what the time interval is that the pump does not run. And so we chart that on a little scatter diagram, if nothing else. And it goes up and up and up. And so he tells me when something changes, and we talk about why it changed. So we fixed quite a few leaks, and that time interval keeps increasing. And if it drops down, then we know we've got a leak somewhere, and we know that we need to go look. So it's a very easy condition monitoring system for us, if you will. I trained everybody on it, and so they see the results on a weekly basis, and they understand what's going on, tells us what the condition of our sprinkler system is. And so that was just so easy, and everyone could understand that very easily. And it saves money by not having unnecessary fire alarms and people going outside the building. So that was my start with condition-based maintenance here at this facility.
All right, awesome. Well, and so that being said, Scott, how would you suggest to someone maybe some helpful pointers in how they can measure like the success of using a condition-based maintenance program or technology?
At one previous job, I built a system plant-wide, a really big system where we monitored a lot of parameters on different machines. And the money that we saved on spare parts from going from time-based changing to condition-based changing, I reduced my spare parts budget like 60% in a year after I got this system implemented. So it's very easy to, that's a very easy measurement that everybody can understand. Even, people that are not in maintenance, they understand the money. So money talks to almost anybody in an organization. So if you can show cost savings on things like that, that's very easy. And then you can also reduce your labor. And I reduce my workforce through attrition and expansion quite a bit with the condition-based system. So those are two easy parameters, easy things to measure. How much do you spend in spare parts? And if you reduce the spare parts that you change, that's easily reflected and measured.
Definitely so. And those are two really good points, Scott. So something that's been really interesting in the past few weeks, changing gears on you here a little bit, we record and get to talk with, a bunch of industry professionals. And I think your position and what you're doing now offers a little bit of contrast to some of the folks that we've spoken with recently, who may be a little bit slower, but in fact, we were talking before we got online here that you've in fact experienced the exact opposite of that. So would you mind just sharing a little bit of background about just your position, your company, but then too how everything's been going with the COVID-19 pandemic and how that's impacted you guys?
Well, I work for a company named Payton's, but it's actually Kroger. It's the distribution chain for Kroger grocery stores. Kroger is not only Kroger. They have about 25 different store brands or store names that they own. Roundy's, Ralph's, Food for Less are just a few of those. So with the COVID-19 virus pandemic going on, you've seen everybody that's been to a grocery store has seen how fast things move, how quickly people are panicking and buying. I went to the grocery store and saw a woman had a grocery cart full of pinto beans in cans. And so you can imagine with people hoarding food like that, our workload has been 3 to 4 times normal. And we operate 24/7. Anyway, we only get Christmas Day off is the only day we ever shut down. So to triple or quadruple our workload when we already work 7 days a week, it's been very challenging. And we can't have any downtime. We have to respond quickly. We have to make good decisions about if we find a problem, when are we going to fix it? When's the most convenient time for production to stop and let us fix something, and we have to have our work very well planned and executed very quickly. So that's made this work very challenging.
That's for sure. And I mean, thank you for all that you and your team are doing during these crazy times, especially. But that being said, Scott, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap things up here for today?
There's a lot of maintenance methodologies out there, and I've tried a lot of them. But if you think about, you know, like a little bit of RCM2, a little bit about predictive maintenance, condition-based maintenance really uses pieces of those methodologies and kind of puts them in a way that helps you reduce your spending on parts and reduce your labor. It makes you work much more efficiently. So it's not really, and there's not really one thing that's perfect for every organization, but for the places that I have worked, condition-based maintenance has really been the best thing that's allowed me to do a good job and make improvements and help the companies that I've worked for. So it's the first time I did it, it was pretty difficult. I had to learn how to do it myself. And but once I got into it and built a big system, really learned a lot of things, and it really helped me with root cause analysis, understanding, you know, why something broke. With the condition monitoring system that I had, I could go back and understand why machines broke or why machines failed. And so it helped me with root cause analysis and reducing breakdowns even further. So to me, it's just the best all around system that you can have.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for your time today. We really enjoyed talking with you, and hopefully we can get together again, maybe in a few months when everything's calmed down, and talk with you a little bit more.
Okay. I'd enjoy that.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.